You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Well, good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, sitting in the host chair for my partner in crime, Waterfowler Hall of Famer, Fred Ramsey. He is getting ready to do what he likes to do best, and that is sit in the duck blind and enjoy the opening of the 2019 duck season. Been a long time to get here. Sitting in my chair, I've got my good buddy Joe Falco from Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine. Good morning, Jojo. How are you?
I'd be better if I was with Fred.
Yeah, right. Well, we're trying to get him back on the phone. He's closer to the duck blind, doesn't have real good service, so he's walking up on top of a hill right now so he can join us. But
I wouldn't be doing that if I were him. Man, we were just looking at the duck countdown his way.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, that's some good news. We got... almost 20,000 mallards there. But the big thing, I think, is the pintails, over 35,000 pintails there. That's crazy.
I don't know if that's a misprint or not. We'll have to ask Mr. Ramsey when he gets
on. Yeah,
right. But I knew that. I knew pintails were going to be big, but 35,000?
Yeah, right.
To 20?
Yeah, the mallards, yeah, right.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Hey, if anybody's out there heading out to go duck hunting, if you've heard anything on duck numbers or can share with us where you're going, give us a call. 913-3810-810 is our number. We'd love to hear from you, see what you're doing, see what you're hearing as far as duck numbers out there. But, you know, we got that cold weather, it seems, just at the right time. And so, I mean, to push some ducks in might be a good opener in some places.
Maybe. You know, I guess what surprises me is that north looks so good and down where we are in middle.
Yeah, you've got a place in the middle zone down by Truman.
Yeah, it's bleak.
You know, I did talk to my guide buddy, Richard Bowling, last night. He said there's a lot of ducks out on Truman, a lot of ducks, but they're out on the main, on the big water.
And that's kind of what I told you. We were all mud. We're mud. So I see ducks on our property. Don't get me wrong, but how in the world? Somebody want to tell me how to get to them? Great. Let me know, because yeah. I don't know how to wade through 300 yards of mud to get to them. And how do you set up even if you could?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. That is going to be a problem. We just had way too much water for too long a period of time. Do we have Fred on the phone with us now? Fred Ramsey, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, kid. I had to come back. I had cell service dropped out at Duck Club. Usually have pretty good service out there. And today and yesterday, I don't know what's wrong, but I had to drive back up here on I-29 where I get into a cell site, I guess. So What's going on, Mark?
Well, just I'm here with Joe Falco, and he's wishing he was with you for sure. But
yeah.
I know you're getting ready to do one of the things that you like to do best. Maybe not the thing that you like to do best, but one of the things, and that is getting ready to go out and enjoy the opening of the duck season. So how's it looking out your way?
Well, just not too long from now, you know, it's blast-off time. I'm trying to find all my documents, but I drove so fast up here, pretty well dropped everything on the floorboard, so I'm I'm having a good day.
Yeah. You're not excited, are you?
Oh, man, I'm pumped up. You know, the older you get, the more you look forward to these things, and it should be a good year. We had a lot of ducks around yesterday. It's just been a weird year. We got a lot of pintails, a lot of gadwalls. The count on Squaw Creek was 66,500. I don't know about that. I don't know how they count them because the weeds so high out there, but I think there at one time there was a lot more than that. So we'll see. It's going to be a weird year. Got so much open water across this bottom, and ducks got soft spots to go to, and just weird on the deal. So, but never seen such enthusiasm in my entire life.
Wow.
It's like bumper to bumper traffic up here today.
Well, you'll be happy to hear, Fred. I'm looking at the report right now. There's also, for those of you that love shooting them, there's also 7,450 coots And 10 swans, by the way. Don't mistake the two, please.
Joe, an interesting fact that a lot of people didn't know, and Steve Kitchen turned me on to this, coots only migrate at night.
Really?
And I thought, yeah, well, what the heck is that all about?
Well, yeah, what do they need to hide from?
I thought they were taking buses down all these years. I just thought they jumped on a bus. I've never seen them fly.
Well, that would be why.
They evidently line up on the stars like a lot of waterfowl do and head down the hill. So I don't know how they get there, but they get there somehow in this deal. So what the hey, you know.
Well,
Mark, one of the things we need to pass on, and I'm going to babble here for a minute, which I always do, but... This is, if I can get my specs in order here, here is Squaw Creek. Blast-off time, the legal shooting time is 7:21, and, of course, tomorrow it changed back to 6:22 on the deal. But I thought, you know, me and you have talked about this waterfowl hunting for years and years and years, and it's a sport where you can have way too much fun. And then it's also a sport where you need to watch what you're doing because, you know, here's the basis of waterfowl is the mere fact you got to have a migratory card, you got to have your hunting license, and a migratory card and also a federal duck stamp. It must be signed and affixed to your license. Of course, a steel shot only, which has been a lot of years now, and, of course, a plug shotgun with not more than 3 shots. So... just this kind of thing. And then the goose season, now here's the weird part. The goose season up here in the North Zone starts November the 11th. You can't shoot white geese. You can't shoot any kind of goose until November the 11th. So just giving the guys out there a heads up on this thing.
You know, the regulations, you know, just have to muddy them up, have to make them more complicated. What in the world? What difference would it make if you had some goose hunting right now along with the ducks? Doesn't make any sense to me. And then you go into the mid zone, it doesn't open until next Saturday, and they open up for 7 days in the mid zone, then they close down for 5 days. And in the south zone, it's even more screwy. The south zone opens on Thanksgiving Day for 4 days, and then they close long enough to avoid an excess of a 60-day season, and then it opens up until January 31st. Really? Does it have to be that complicated?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I used to hunt with an awful lot of old waterfowlers when I was a lot younger, and, of course, they've all passed now. But when they went to steel shot and all these were into the migratory card, you know, it was one time we had what we call 10-cent ducks. And the ducks, a teal was 10 points, a gadwall was 10 points, but a mallard hen was 90.
Wow.
And so you could get out there some morning, you know, and if you shot into a flock and dropped out 2 hens, you were done for the day. That would put you over the 100 points, you know. And the old-timers that I hunted with said, man, it's just too restrictive. I don't want a ticket. I don't know what I'm doing out here. I don't see as good as I used to. And I'm going to get a ticket. And a lot of them guys hung up their guns and never came back into the industry. So,
well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it really, really was. Because these guys, I didn't think Mark would ever quit waterfowl hunting. I mean, if you saw them in March, they were talking about hunting ducks. You saw them in June, they were talking about hunting ducks. And I didn't think they would ever get out of the system, and they did. And when they quit, they quit. I mean, that was it. I couldn't entice them to come back. So it's a shame, you know. But you've got to have regulations. You've got to have rules.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you get a little carried away. You know?
I couldn't agree more. Now, you say that up there your way, Squaw Creek, which I will never call it anything other than Squaw Creek, you're saying they're saying over 60,000. I'm looking at the Missouri Conservation's numbers, and they're saying – over 35,000 pintails?
Oh, yeah.
You think so? Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And there is one field up there, foxtail, that Lindsay has flooded up there on Squaw Creek. Boy, she's done a great job this refuge this year for what she had to battle. There is one field up there of 80 acres, and I think it's 80 acres of pintail. I think the 30,000 number is way off. I think there's more like 50 or 60,000
of just the pintails. You know, wow.
Yeah, I called John Debney of Delta Waterfowl, you know, and there was such an alarm about pintails just a few years back. And I called John. I said, John, I've got every one of your pintails in the United States. They're right here beside us. I don't know, you know. There's just a ton of them. And, you know, a pintail, to me, I don't have open water. We flood corn, and it's pretty hard to decoy. Last 2 years ago, I guess it was, maybe one afternoon, don't know why, every pintail came down that flyway, worked our decoy spread, and never had it happen again. You know, I never had it happen before. One afternoon, it was the duck god said, hey, go over there, you know, and we could have, I mean, you could have just massacred them. They're kind of basic ducks, you know, and you could have really worked them over. But I think they're rebounding a little bit as far as the numbers. Not great, but they're doing okay. You know, they're going to be okay, it looks to me like now.
So, I mean, when was the last time you saw that kind of numbers of pintail up there?
Well, it was weird, and you talk about imprinting ducks. That's what duck hunting is about, is imprinting ducks. And last spring up here in March, I don't know what happened again. The planets and stars lined up, and I think we had every pintail on the central flyway here on Squaw Creek. So I think they've imprinted enough that they're showing up. I don't think the numbers are that great, but, you know, it's just that we've imprinted them, and they like hanging out here now in the deal. Another thing that's happening up here at Squaw Creek, they've got the sandhill cranes hanging around a little bit, which we never, ever, you know, we get a few sandhills every year. We've got quite a few. I saw six in one bunch, four in another, wow, which is a lot for us. And then also those swans are starting to show back up again, too. So wow, what success stories.
Well, cool. When did the ducks start showing up?
Oh, actually, about a week ago, we had quite a few. I took a little tour around trying to figure out what was going on, where and how, to give you guys a report on this. But I was amazed. I stumbled into a flock of blue wing that must have been 200 or 300, wow, in there, you know. And they should be down in Costa Rica by now, you know.
Damn.
And I think these ducks are befuddled. I know the hunters are befuddled. You know, it's just a weird year.
Did you get any snow up there?
Yeah, we had a pretty good little snow, about an inch and a quarter maybe. I don't know. St. Joe got a little more than we did up here, but it's all gone per se. You know, it all melted away. So,
I mean, it seems like we're in the middle of the winter now, and it's, I mean, just now the beginning of November. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy times, isn't it? I don't know.
Have you had my loafing shed rebuilt yet?
Not yet, but I'm a fixin' to.
and who's going?
You remember the old routine on the Beverly Hillbillies? I'm a fixin' to, or no, it was on Festus Hagen. He was a marshal, deputy with Miss Kitty and Dodge City people, you know. And go to school, teach school, and he said, I'm going to teach you your fixings. First, I'm going to teach you your fixings. I'm a fixing, you're a fixing, we're all a fixing.
Well,
no, I tell you what, King City Lumber, if you'll go to their website, you'll spend about a half hour on it. And whatever you can imagine, they can build. If you can't, I mean, they'll help you design. I've never been around the nicer, more professional people, and I hear it every day. Somebody will say, hey, I heard your commercial about Kingsley Lumber. Are they really that good? Yeah, they are, and they're the best. They're the pros, first-rate lumber, master carpenters. So if you ever need a loafing shed, which we need one for Mark, put a recliner in. Mine
right.
Blew away with the tornado, but that would be the place, kingcitylumber.com, and you'll be there forever. Marty and Monty Tunks, they're just wonderful, wonderful people. So get involved with that organization. They're great.
All right. Well, Fred, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back and visit with you a little more before you head out to the duck blind, and we'll do that right after this quick timeout.
I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I hope we're going through here. I'm having a terrible sale moment. Mark, are we there? Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Are
you
there? Yeah.
There you are. All right.
Fine. Yeah.
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, well, cool. Hey, we are brought to you by one of the nicest people that ever walked the face of the earth. If it weren't for Trevin Reed, I don't know what I'd do in my life. He just gives me guidance. you know.
And you
Reed Chevrolet up at St. Joseph, Missouri. I just had a buddy went in, got a new 2020 pickup in there a couple days ago. I've got friends that come from everywhere to go down there, and they are the finest humans. Now, Trevin is up and going, so he's going to be listening to the show today, and he is getting ready to get in his duck blind. And, yeah, I think he'll have a great year up there. So he's got a pretty cool-looking little spot up there, to be honest with you. So, anyway, we're going to try to get with him later today. We're going to the Waterfowl Hall of Fame tonight. They're having their annual banquet here tonight in Mound City, and Trevin is going to be there. But in the meantime, what I would do, I would stop and buy me a new Chevrolet pickup. He's still got a huge selection. He's doing real, real good. A lot of dealers don't have inventory. He's got inventory. I'm not real sure. He might have a 2019 one or two. That'll be the real savings on that one. So, but I've never been around. I go in there and just kind of hang out because the guys are laughing, the customers are laughing, the people are having a good time buying a truck or a pickup or a car. He also has the Dodge dealership there in St. Joseph, Missouri, with the same standards of treating you like you're supposed to be treated. So go by if you're in the mode for a vehicle today. There's nobody finer, and I mean this from my heart. I'm really looking forward to seeing tonight. This is a great, great Chevrolet store there. Belt and I-29 in Frederick, 28 miles north of the airport. Save you a lot of money just driving up there. So go by and see these fantastic people, and they'll stand behind you. You know, what we always say, Mark, every Saturday, well, they'll never sell you a truck. They'll help you buy one.
Well, you know, my oldest son, Mark Jr., and I went down there. My son bought a truck from Reed Chevrolet, and it was the most enjoyable buying experience of a vehicle. And that's, I've never had bought a vehicle and said that I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed going up there and purchasing that vehicle. We just had so much fun, and mostly because we talked about fishing for 3.5 hours. But you know, the salespeople, they're non-commissioned, so there's no pressure on them to make a sale. So all they do is, like you said, help you pick out a vehicle.
Yeah, my sister went in there, Mary Ann Johnson, in case that's a weird name, but Mary Ann Johnson, my sister, went in there and bought one. She said it was the most enjoyable experience of her life. So, you know, I get so tired of hearing the hype from other car dealers. And then they have that disclaimer, and that guy reads so fast that you can't understand what he's saying. And you don't have that at Reed. I mean, they just treat you like you're supposed to be treated, and they're just good people. And you're a member of the Reed family once you buy a vehicle up there. There's nobody any better than that bunch, so what the heck. Hey, the inductees tonight, Randy Patterson, my bestest friend, a very deserved person for the inductee of the Waterfowl Hall of Fame. Why he hadn't been in there sooner is way beyond me. Rob Bolin, another one of my dearest friends at 10th and Mitchell at Bolin Automotive. Art Van Meter, who passed a year ago today on opening day of duck season.
Oh, wow.
What a great guy. And Mike Williams is going to be inducted into the Waterfowl Hall of Fame. And I don't know Mike, but I had him checked out, and everybody said he's one of the nicest people that walked the face of the earth. And so I'm really looking forward to meeting Mike and going up there tonight. This is going to be a hoot. This thing might be sold out. That's how big this is getting on the deal. So what the hey.
Awesome.
Hey, Joe, are you going duck hunting today?
Yes, but no, next week. I'm in the middle. But, okay, real quickly, let's help some people, seriously. So it's three questions, but it's all one. It's opening day, no matter where you are, this week, next week, following week in the South Zone. Motion, amount of decoys, and a layout for just today, just the opening day. Motion, yes, no, amount of decoys, and what kind of layout? Go.
Well, you know, we get in these vast arguments. Well, we're real serious about this waterfowl hunting, and I've got a little computer box in our blind that turns our mojos on. I think I'm running three off of one machine there. One of them beats real fast. One of them beats real slow. And did I get dropped out there?
No, you're fine.
You're going.
Okay. And one of them beats real slow. One comes on and off real quick. I think that gives you some added motion. We use fatal flashers on all our decoys. This year here we put out, I don't know, I didn't count them, between 180 to 250 duck decoys already, and we'll add another 30, 40, 50 into the bunch this year. So, and we crowd them up a lot. I feel like that gives them some security on the deal. But, you know, for the guys in the layout blinds out in the middle of the cornfield, you know, a dozen or maybe two dozen of black goose decoys, and then some field decoys for mallards, maybe up to 36. And, you know, Joe, here's what I've determined. And we get in this vast argument, me and duck hunters. As I got older in life, I don't respect their eyesight as much as I should. I don't, you know, because how many times you get out of the blind, go tinkle, and here comes a duck about lands on your head, you know. So, you know, it's motion of the human in there, and just, you know, just don't move and look at me. With this good camouflage, my goodness, you know, they don't see you. I tell you something else we've done, Joe, and a lot of people don't relate to this. We hunt out of pits, and a lot of people do. We've taken all the flaps off of our pits. We don't, because that used to be you would throw the flap, and that give them, it's like running the 100-yard dash. You gave everybody a 10-yard head start. And we would just come up through. We have corn stalks laying across. We bundled them up and laid them across the opening of the blind. And we come up through the corn stalks blasting. And I don't know, you know, we changed that, and that's because of Steve Kitchen talked me into this. I have to point fingers at him. But when last year we shot so many ducks that were still what we call muscled up, you know, the wings tucked sure. straight down coming in the decoys, and it makes it a 10-yard shot versus a 40-yard shot. So, you know, if you got flaps on your blind, you might want to be thinking about taking them off because you're just alarming them. And you can watch those guys. You'd be off to the side, and you see that flap pull down off of that blind, and them ducks go ballistic, and it makes that shot 10 times as hard, and you tend to cripple more and that kind of stuff. So we like shooting them through the head and shoot 2 3/4 and get them close. So that's just some of the things that we do, you know, that helps out a little bit.
Can't disagree with any of that. I just wasn't sure if you guys start out with that many decoys or if you start out with, you know, 4 dozen and then add. But you start out with quite a few.
Yeah, we do. We probably put more decoys than any other club I know around. You know, maybe we shouldn't, but that's just tradition with us. And we just, we put them close together. It used to be the old adage, leave a hole right in the middle. Yeah, we leave a little bit of an opening in there, but for over top of the decoys. But we just crowd them up. They're about a foot and a half, 2 foot apart. And that makes, I think, gives them confidence. I think gives them more visual on the deal. And then, of course, we run, and I just love them. In fact, I've got 3 more dozen. I just put in truck this morning. I got Fatal Flashers, which are the plastic wings that go up over the top of the duck's best-kept secret in America. And they just give you that extra movement. And today we're going to have clear skies, a little bit of wind. It's going to be perfect for Fatal Flashers. So, and that gives them that confidence. You know, here's what happens to a lot of guys. Now, I'm babbling here, but I'm so enthused about this. People say, I can't finish ducks. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people can't, and because ducks are spooky. They've had shot, you know. And so we put those Fatal Flashers on top of them. It doesn't attract ducks, but it makes them finish. You know, when you get ducks around, they see that little subtle movement. One of the best compliments I ever got, we were being checked one day by a game warden, and the guy said, oh, it looks like some ducks just lit in your decoys. Hmm? It wasn't the ducks lit in our decoys. It was the Fatal Flashers flopping in the wind.
Is that right?
You know, just, yeah. And I thought, what a nice compliment. He didn't realize he'd give me a nice compliment, but he did. On a deal. So you add that enthusiasm. You know, Mark, when we were field testing Fatal Flashers, the first thing we had hit it was an eagle. It picked up one of our decoys.
Yeah, that's a good testimonial.
Yeah, if you can fool an eagle, I think you can fool a duck.
Yeah, right.
You know, and he picked it up and he went about 10 yards behind the blind and he spit it out, you know, type thing. You know, he didn't like the taste of plastic or whatever. But,
well, Fred, you know, hold that thought. We're up against a break.
Okay.
Don't go away. We got to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll visit with Fred and Steve Kitchens talking about the opening of the duck season in the North Zone. We'll do that right after this quick.
Blame it all on my roots.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin. My partner in crime and waterfowler Hall of Famer, Mr. Fred Ramsey, is reporting on location from his duck blind. And in studio with me, I got my good buddy Joe Falco from Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine. Joe, you just had a recently had a kayak tournament down at Middle. Was it Middle Creek?
Yes, it was Middle Creek on the Kansas side.
How did it go?
Well, we got rain in the
morning.
It
was rotten weather.
Huh? Yeah, and so we only had about 18 or so kayakers show up.
Well, that's great.
We had 5 catch a limit.
Oh, that's super.
Which was cool. And if you've never kayak fished before, it's a treat. I mean, you're leaving the fish alone is the best thing I can tell you. You're putting them right back where you got them from, and so the next person can come along the next day and catch them, which is that's what I love about the kayak fishing. But, yeah, we got some planned for next year. So guys that are interested in kayaks, come out. We got the Christmas specials on. We'll take care of you.
Oh, really? Yeah.
All right.
And some of those Jackson kayaks, I mean, there's some of these, it's the way to do it. I mean, some of them you can put a trolling motor in. Others you can pedal rather than have to, you know, worry about a paddle. That's the way to go.
Hey, Fred, let me tell you this. You're still there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we designed a new one. Jackson designed a new one. It's called a U-Pick, and we've also got another one called a Kilroy. And I don't know. I hope they're not one of your sponsors, but it'll make everything out there look bad for these layout duck boat hunters. It is incredible. So you get dual purpose rather than just buying. I can't think of the name of it, Fred. You know, the one that was made up in Missouri up there. The Four Rivers layout boat. You were probably involved in it. I don't know. But anyway, it's a great thing, but it's good for duck hunting only. Wait till you see this kayak and for less money.
So it's a sit-on.
So instead of filling up with water all the time, Fred, you know, I don't know if you've ever had to hunt out of layouts, but everybody down my way is going to be in a layout boat this year.
This year?
We're nothing but mud. I don't know what we're going to do. We're nothing but mud. And these are sit-ons, so they're solid, so they don't hold water or anything, Fred. They're incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So we got those in stock.
Cool. Yeah, this is the year for the layout. I mean, or for the Jackson kayaks, because you got all these open fields were flooded, and you got them in a camouflage model. Put a little netting around them, you know, and put your decoys up on the top and your dog. I saw the guy doing it last year. I was impressed, to say the least. That's a tremendous product.
With a comfortable black chair, so you're not. I mean, you're not having an aluminum chair. You got a very, very comfortable chair instead of laying back on your back all the time and pull up some. We drank, yeah, so anyway, we got them in stock. People ought to, I didn't even think about it just now, but anyway.
Yeah, that's cool.
We got mud, Fred, man. We were hunting.
You
got to have to tell me if you've ever done this before, because I have no idea how to get the ducks in the middle of a mud pond. I have no idea. I don't think you can, honestly. I don't think you can.
Yeah, well, just try. Just put some mojos out and hang out. That's about all it amounts to.
Yeah, but it's the mud up to your knees that I'm worried about, an old guy like me, man.
Yeah.
I guess I could belly crawl back to the old days.
Yeah, right.
Well, it'll be fine. I tell you what, there's so many ducks around, and I think it'll be okay. You know, I don't know on the deal. So people are pulling up here wanting to talk to me. I got people. I'm at I-29, and where you turn off to Squaw Creek, and it's like bumper-to-bumper traffic with people coming by and honking and getting ready to go duck hunting. I've never seen so much enthusiasm in my entire life as this year. I don't know why, but there seems like more than ever on the deal. So, have we got Kitchen around? We can kick him around a little
Steve,
bit.
Steve, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? This is Steve Kitchens.
Good morning, guys.
Where are
Happy
you at?
Duck season, Fred.
Yeah.
I'm at home.
Oh.
You're at home.
And home is where you're not hunting today.
St. Charles, Missouri.
Okay.
No, we don't open until next weekend.
Do you have any idea why in the middle zone that they open up for 7 days and then they close for 5 days? You have any?
There's some people that were in power at the time that wanted to be able to deer hunt for rifle season and not take away from their deer hunting.
Wow. And then,
and not take away from their duck hunting, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a bad deal. People wanted to run later in the middle zone. They say that people went to the flyway council meetings and wanted to be later and later and later, because when they go out after the season's over and they pick up their decoys, there's ducks everywhere. Well, those ducks have been there the whole time. They were just hiding from them because it was pressured at the end of the season. And you stop hunting them for a week and you go out to pick your decoys up, and guess who's back? So,
yeah.
Kind of irritating.
Yeah, I'll bet it is.
We don't like the split.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, and it's even worse on the South Zone. The South Zone opens up for 4 days, and then they close down. And then they say they close down as long as they need to avoid an excess of a 60-day season. What the heck?
Well, right. That's early, Mark. Well, that's early Thanksgiving and late Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. That's
what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Because
okay.
You can only go 60 days through the 31st.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that'd be true, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's very,
but still,
it's very, very hard to manage. Yeah, it's very hard to manage duck clubs when you have to close for a period of time during the season.
Right.
How to put water? When to put water? Why? When to get water off, like with the rivers and stuff as high this year, we are unable to fill up a pool and drain it because we don't have anywhere to go with it right now because the rivers are still high. So it's just, it's really frustrating.
Yeah. Well, I think we could get a petition up and start. I think they will listen, but it's hard to get changes once they're getting established on a deal. Kitchen, I understand you were in Canada.
Yeah, we had a really great trip. We got up there I think we got up there on the 13th or 14th of October, and we hunted through about the 20th. It was really good.
What were you hunting?
People there. We were hunting ducks and snow geese, actually.
Oh, snow
geese. Didn't hunt any Canada geese this time because the snow geese were so abundant. Something that everybody on your side of the state and up there, especially around Squaw Creek, everybody's going to be happy. There's a lot of juvies this year from the snow geese side. So that's something that helps the economy in Squaw Creek.
Yeah, it ought to be a good year. I understand they had a really, really good late hatch, so a lot of juveniles in the flock, isn't there?
Tons. It was the best I've seen it up there in 15, 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, ooh, good, good. Well, that motivates me.
It was really good.
You needed motivation, Fred, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, anything's better than last year.
Hmm. Yeah, too many adult birds in the flock, man. You turn the speakers on to them, they turn around and go the other way. You know, they're smart birds. It's unbelievable.
You put a decoy in a field. You want to know how to get birds out of the field? Put decoys in it.
Yeah. Steve, where did you go in Canada?
We go just in north central Saskatchewan, just to the east of the Quill Lakes.
Is there an outfitter there that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
We freelance.
Oh, is that right? Okay, cool.
Yep, been going for 25 years. We do it all our own, take our own decoys, take our own blinds, go knock on doors.
You still rep?
Oh, cool.
You still rep for Sitka?
Yes, sir.
And I know this is on my Christmas list. I don't have one, but Fred, I just am so envious of yours. And the one thing, you know, I've got a Carhartt jacket, and I like it. It's warm. But the thing I hate about it is when you try to put the hood up, you turn your head and you're looking at the side of your hood. And that's not the way with the Sitka stuff. I mean, they pay attention to little details like that, don't they?
Yeah, it's the extra stitching. Every time you think that they figured something else out, I mean, figured everything out, you turn around and you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did that. You know, they articulate the knees, the elbows, the hood, of course. It's like a six-way adjustable hood. Like you said, you do not turn and look into the side of the hood. You turn and you look where you're looking. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great product. You know, I talk to everybody. I'll have people come up and say, what's that you're wearing? I said, well, it's Sitka. And a lot of people go, what in the world is that thing? You know, we think about waterfowl hunting and all that stuff, but they make some other apparel, too, for women, too, don't they?
We've got a full women's waterfowl line, a whitetail line, and for big game hunters, too. Actually, Sitka started with big game apparel way, way back in the beginning, and it's evolved into whitetail and into waterfowl, actually into some everyday clothing, too. So,
yeah, there's nothing like it. You know, the best part about Sitka, to me, it's so darn light. When you put it on, it doesn't weigh anything like a Carhartt or any of them other guys. You know, they weigh you down a little bit. I slipped on an old Carhartt jacket yesterday and walked down to the blind. And I thought, why am I doing this? It was just silly, you know. And Sitka, you know, there's just, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like it wicks away. It just keeps you, it doesn't ever get you warm It does keep you, you're not cold, you're just comfortable in the middle of the thing. It's the greatest product I've ever put on.
That's the key word, for sure, comfortable. You know, and, you know, you don't think about it when you're comfortable. You don't think about it, you know, at all. But you think about it when you're cold, or you think about it when you're hot. So, you know, to not have to think about it and to be able to focus on what your what the actual, you know, the hunt is or whatever you're doing, the football game, whatever you're doing wearing this stuff, you can focus on it instead of being warm or being cold.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a lot of buddies that are deer hunting in it, and it said that they, it extends their hunting season. It's, it extends the hours that they can spend in the field because they are not cold. You know, these, you know, think about all the little kids out there this weekend, and I hope everybody's safe. All the youngsters are out there trying to get themselves a deer this weekend here in Missouri. And, you know, even, you know, if those kids are able to sit out there another couple hours because they're wearing Sitka, it, it makes the hunt a lot better for them.
Yeah. Well, you know what I like about Sitka, too, is you guys stand behind your product 110%. You know, so, you know, they're just a good organization. They got great products. You know, and, you know, they're a little bit more money, but they're worth it. They're gear, and that's the way you guys market it and advertise it. It's just absolutely a wonderful deal. What kind of call, you guys also, you rep Rich and Tone, they got anything brand new out for on the, this year horizon for duck callers?
I have not a whole lot brand new for this year. They do a lot of these special run calls. Boy, they just did some kind of a big special for Halloween with the Mondos, and I think they sold out in 15 minutes or less. So, you know, just they're doing a lot of special run type stuff. You know, nothing earth-shattering in the duck calls this year.
Yeah. Jury's out with me and a lot of other guys. They would probably like to try Mondo, but the rumor around the street is that they're hard to blow. Do you agree with that?
They're different. They're different to blow. And a lot of people get that hard to blow into their head. And it's not that they're hard to blow. It's that, that they blow differently than your regular duck call. And it's a different source of air. It's a different way to push air into a call. You're not, it's kind of hard to explain, but Jim Ronquist is the best at explaining it. And I know you've had him on the show. People just need to stand. It's just like when Tim Grounds first came out with the short reed goose call way back when they came back with that half breed. Everybody's like, I can't blow that. I can't blow that. You know, I blow a flute. I blow a flute. I can't blow that. Well, a Mondo is the same kind of deal with a duck call as the short reed was way back when with a goose call. It's just a different source of air. And once you figure out that different source of air, this thing's it's an amazing call. You know, like you said that one day when I was sitting there yelling at the ducks to come into your place that one day, you know, they didn't have any intention of coming, but you yell at them hard, loud enough, some of them kind of come. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, I wish you'd have been with me today. I was sitting on the levee at Squaw Creek, and the ducks are more vocal this year for some reason. I don't know why. But one duck was a high-ringing duck. The other was a quacky duck. One was a Mondo-sounding duck. So they all got different voices. It's the cadence in it that makes the difference, isn't it?
Most definitely. They all sound different, just like us humans. I mean, we all have different tones of voice and everything. But, you know, all of us from a certain region talk in the same type of, you know, little clicks and different things. That we all have our cadence. And, you know, people in the city have a different cadence than the people out in the country have a cadence. But, you know, it's basically same speaking. So the ducks have same speaking, but all of them sound a little different.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right in the deal. Mark, I hate to do this to you.
I hear him quacking in the background. Do you hear that chattering?
Yeah.
That sounds like mallards to me, Fred.
Yeah. And people driving by, pushing toward my blind, and we're supposed to get out of here.
What time's shooting time?
Can you? 7:21 up here, but we'll probably hold off until 7:21.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Fred, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Will you shoot one
for
me today? Okay, I know the limit's 6. You can only shoot 5 today. One of them's mine.
Okay.
Happy duck season. Happy duck season.
It really should be good, man. I don't know. I just so pumped up this year. I got a lot of ducks coming in the corn already, and I think it's looking pretty darn good on the deal. So
Tune in next week for that count.
Yeah, the problem I have is I got to get Kitchen up here back in the blind, because every time I hunt with him, I learn something. He's a plethora of knowledge, and he's a smart guy. And just somehow I'm going to, if I have to pay you, I guess I will, you know, to come hunt with me. So,
like I said, this year with our split, it might work out a lot better for me. So I'm going to try and get up there during the split.
Well, Fred.
Boy, that'd be fantastic.
Fred, you have fun out there today. Give me a call later this morning. Let me know how it was.
Okay, I'll call you here in a little bit and tell you what's going on. But I got to get out there. Getting pink in these guys. I'm nervous wreck.
Get out there. All right.
See you.
Take care, Fred.
I'll talk to you a little bit later, guys.
Okay, sounds
good. Bye.
And Steve, before I let you go, Sitka gear would make such a fantastic Christmas present for the outdoor person in our listener's life. Where can our listeners find Sitka gear?
Your listeners can find Sitka gear at Rogers and at Shields All Sports and Cabela's or Bass Pro. Some of the Cabela's and Bass Pros have it, not all, but I'm sure that your Shields stores and your Rogers Sporting Goods, Rogers probably, you know, of course, in Kansas City has one of the largest selection of the gear, but Shields All Sports does well, too.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We're about out of radio time here. Appreciate you being on with us. Good luck with your duck season this year. Be safe.
Thank you very much. I hope to talk to you guys soon.
You will. Take care. Steve Kitchens, thanks for being with us. All right. Well, that's almost going to wrap it up. So before we get out of here, what's going on at Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine? You doing any winterizations yet?
Oh, my goodness. That cold weather caught everybody fast. And, so we actually have not even winterized an outboard yet. Everybody's all nervous, but that's okay. We've got them outboards you don't need to worry about as much. But, man, we're loaded with the inboard outboards. And we've already had three calls saying, hey, listen to this, guys. Three calls already, Mark. How much is it going to cost to put a block into my boat, which is $5,000?
Oh, God. I mean,
so
how
we've
does
already
that
had three. They, oh, they my. Just, that's how fast that freeze came and people weren't ready and they've
oh,
already lost them.
Oh, no.
So if you got an inboard outboard sitting in your driveway, you may be too late.
Oh, man, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we have to do it and we hate to charge people that much money, but that's what it is. Brand new motor. Let's face it.
Ugh. Owie.
Yikes.
So, I mean, we've had way below freezing weather, so it's too late. I mean, but they should have drained
the block
first.
Yeah, if nothing else, you drain the block, and, you know, any part of it you can save. If you can save the block, that's a big deal if you didn't get the manifolds drained correctly. But, you know, can't worry about it now. But if you're sitting on an inboard outboard out there and you haven't done it, man, give us a call, see if we can help bail you out, because we push the outboards out because they're not going to freeze. They're not going to freeze. They just need to be taken care of so that when you go to crank them in the spring, they just start. That's what we want.
I mean, it's nothing special to do. Just put the engine down, let all the water drain out
of it. For now. And then let us get that fuel treated and, you know, especially these new four strokes. I mean, why would you not hook up a four stroke to a computer when you have that ability to see how the whole year ran? Why, you know, it's just silly not to do it. Just silly not to.
Should you leave the motor in the down position through the winter if you're not using it, or should you cover it with plastic to try to keep
it? If you're going
to
tilt it up, cover it with plastic so no water can get into the prop and freeze that. Yeah, but you don't have to, but that's a good idea. But it's got to be down to let it drain out of, you know, the lower part of the lower unit. So,
are fuel-related problems still number one problem?
Still number one.
That's not getting any better.
Nah, it's not getting any better. It really. Well, the four strokes now are so fuel efficient that you're not going through fuel. Guys will put 20 gallons in their boat. For goodness sakes, it's going to last 2 months. You know, you don't run your big motor that much. Think about it.
Yeah, true.
You run it far enough to find the fish and turn it off.
Yeah.
Use your little motor. Use your electric. So,
should you do to the fuel to go through the winter if you're not going to use the boat over the winter?
It's basically, you know, you can use the stable. It's fine. It's a great product, but you have to have the cleaner with it, the injector cleaner and all that. Mercury, Yamaha, all the different brands make it specific, but it's all basically the same. I'd stay away from, you know, why not go with Mercury, Evinrude, one of the, you know, leading brands, but that's the key, the cleaner and the stabilizer.
And if you put that in the fuel for the winter, do you need to run that into the engine?
A minimum, because they don't use any fuel again. a minimum of 15 to 20 minutes on the hose.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Or dump it in on your last trip.
How okay. about that? Yeah.
Take one more run of the crappie. Are they biting?
The crappie are biting.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you
and
go.
Before we go, real quick, tell me again about these layout kayaks.
Oh, they're incredible. So just go on Jackson's website. I don't even have them downloaded. I just got them in 2 weeks ago. Go on Jackson's website, and it's called a U-Pick and then a Kilroy. I like the U-Pick because it's a sit-on. So, guys, the ones that we're used to, the layout blinds we're used to, we're sitting inside. The snow's in them. The mud's in them, right? The mud's inside of them. You can never get it out. You can never get it tipped out. Check out the U-Pick. That's the one I like. And it would actually hold you and somebody in front of you as long as you're able to shoot sideways. It's got a sliding track in it.
Oh, how cool.
It's a cool boat. And marsh. And it comes
well,
in
that's
the marsh
going to be color. Important this year. With everything so flooded and so much mud out there, yeah. That's going to be the ticket.
Yeah, I mean, you need to have me back on in 2 weeks. Because let me tell you what I've learned about hunting mud. Because I promise you, I mean, you read it on the website this morning. It's mud, guys. We are hunting in mud. And you can't do it. It's not possible. You can't walk in it.
No.
So
uh-uh.
How can you hunt in it?
Right.
You can't walk. You can't hunt.
It's going to be a challenging season for some of us. Well, Joe, thank you for getting up and coming in studio with me. Really appreciate it.
I love coming in and working out
with
you.
It's fun having you here.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mark Tobin. He's Joe Falco and Fred Ramsey's out hunting. We will talk to you again next week. In the meantime, you all have a good week. So long, everybody.